Well, our study is still in 1 Peter, so if everybody will turn there. I don't know about you, but man, I tell you what, I have learned some things that that I didn't think were possible, that only God could do. Amen? It's just incredible the things that that Peter has written here and how God has, you know, changed hearts and minds, and just incredible. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the night, Father. We thank you for the food that we've already received. Father, I ask that you bless each and every one here now, Father. And open our hearts and open our minds and let us see the truth that you have for us tonight, Father. Father, I thank you for the spiritual growth that we're all going through. For without that, Father, we would be just plain empty people and with no sustenance at all, Father. So we thank you for that. We thank you for our growth. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I said that the theme of the study from this point on was going to be holiness, on holiness, and it is. The studies that we're going to go through, each one of them is going to be about holiness, okay? So if you see, look at verse 16 in 1 Peter 1, verse 16. It is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Now keep that in your mind as we go through the study. Notice he says, "You shall." It's not a commandment. All right? It's not a commandment. What it is the process, the growth process that we're going to go through and our Heavenly Father is going to be doing it. Okay? And that's what's going to be taking place. You remember, we were redeemed, correct? We've been redeemed. Redemption does what? It sets us free, right? Righteousness. God says that we are righteous. Righteousness makes us seekers. We seek our Heavenly Father. We seek what He is doing in our life, and it causes the changes. So we're seeking after that. We want to be sons and daughters of the living God to bless Him. To worship Him, and that's what redemption is, and holiness makes us like Him, and that's what it says here in verse 16. For you shall be holy, for I am holy. So we're redeemed, we're righteous, and we're holy. So as we go through this study tonight, keep that in your heart. Keep that in your mind as we go through it. Now this, like I said before, this is kind of a battle plan that Peter had written out, all right, to these Gentile Christians who were being run off from their homeland, being run off from their jobs, their homes, their cities, their towns, their schools, everything. They were just being run off, and it was done by the government, as we've learned. So Peter writes this not only to these Gentile Christians, but also for us too. But who better to write it than Peter? If you can remember some of the things when Peter was with Jesus, some of the things that he did. He's presumptuous, you know, his the way he was and stuff like that. So we're going to take a look, just to remind us, we're going to take a look at a couple of incidents. Go to Matthew 16, 13 through 20, and keep your finger there in 1 Peter. Matthew 16, you'll remember this. Oh, and tonight's study, the title of tonight's study is Holy with Flaws. Yeah, kind of oxymoron, right? But that's what the name of the study is. Okay, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elisha, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response, and Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Quite a neat promise that Peter received, didn't he? So we see that Peter is prophetic. He hears God's voice, and he repeats it. So he's prophetic. But look at the next one we're going to look at. Look at John 18. Turn to John 18. Okay, this is after Judas had brought the guard to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus and the disciples were at. And look at verse 10. Simon Peter, then having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear, his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into your sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So we see Peter, he's prophetic one moment, and the next moment he's violent. He's violent. So we go through the same things. We go through the very same things. And it's because we're not fully grown yet. We're not fully grown. So we see this, and that's why I call this study tonight holy with flaws. And we're going to see this as we go on. So back to 1 Peter, starting at verse 22 through 25. Let me read this to you. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. And then he says, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So we see here that they and us have been obedient to God's word because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, have we not? Yeah, we have. So we're obedient. So but we're obedient in spite of our flaws. You see, when I came to the Lord, I was a sinner. I was full of flaws. I mean, just full of them. And when I heard the voice of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit leading my heart to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, something happened. A change started to take place. You guys remember it well. You do. And then that's when the growth process, the spiritual growth process, started in our lives. Okay? We'll see some more of this as we go through this. So he caused us to have a purified soul, a sincere love, and a fervent love for one another. So to go ahead and turn back a few pages to the left to James 1:18, and we read this. Everyone there? In the exercise of whose will? His will. He did what? He brought us forth for the word of truth so that we would be kind of first fruits among his creatures. He did this. Our Heavenly Father did this. Okay? So we're kind of a first fruit among his creatures. And that fruit is filled with the Holy Spirit. We now and what the results of this is going to be is holiness. Okay? Because it says he brought us forth. Not we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Yeah, he made it possible. So he brought us forth, and it was his will and his purpose that caused this. It was nothing that we had that we could even offer or even bargain with in our lives. It was God's doing, and it was done by his love. Okay? So this is a regeneration that's taking place in our lives. This is the growth process. In verses 23 through 24, here in 1 Peter, it says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. What's he describing here? What's he describing? We see a picture of ourselves and our weakness. Yeah. Yeah, we're only here for a moment. That's all it is. It is, yeah. And we have no glory. No glory at all. Sure, before we were born again, we tried to do things righteously and correctly, but we would stumble, bump our heads or whatever, and we would fall flat on our faces. So without Jesus Christ, this is a picture of us. This is a picture of us. We're just like grass. That's the way we were. So we become useless. Even the beast of the field can't be nourished on that type of grass. This is as a quote from Isaiah 46 through 8. So if you'll turn over there, we'll go ahead and read that. Isaiah 46 through 8. I don't hear any pages out there, so you beat me to it. 6 through 8, Isaiah 40. A voice says, "Call out." Then he answered, "What shall I call out? All flesh is like grass, and all its loveliness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Yeah. So do you see that in the middle of that, it says, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it? That's what happened to us. That caused that change in us, was the breath of God. So when we go, our soul, what is our soul? Come on, you guys know. It's your breath life. Right? You take a deep breath. That's your soul. You're speaking. It's your consciousness. And that's what God has changed in our lives. So the slightest climate change in the world before Jesus caused us to stumble and to fall apart. But now, when we have a climate change in our life, we don't stumble anymore. We know who our Savior is. We know that He brings us through any type of condemnation. Because the Word says there is now no condemnation, right? None whatsoever. So that's the new us. That's the growth process that's taking place inside of us. Turn over to Titus. We're going to see about this regeneration. 3:1, just a few pages back to the left. Titus 3:1-8. So we know that our soul is the breath that we have, and it's our very consciousness. Okay. Before Jesus, my soul life was about who? Me. It was all about me. That was my soul life. Okay. I was dependent on me. I was self-taught to survive. But look what happens. And if we look what is taking place in us in Titus 3:1-8. Now, Titus is demonstrating God's works, okay? And it's in a relationship, all right? So it's a relationship to governments. But it applies to us right now. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. To malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So you see this regeneration process that's taking place in our life? It gives us a picture of how we were and then the change that is taking place in our life. And it was done by God's merciful love for each and every one of us. It was nothing that we did on our own, nothing at all. And it was Him, and it was done by the Holy Spirit living within us. Okay? This causing this change in us. Like I said, before Jesus, my soul life was about me, me, me. It was always about me. It was my survival, my way, or the high, no more than that. So it was actually, it wasn't until Jesus came into my life that I actually noticed the changes that were taking place. You can ask my wife. She could tell you how I was, and she could tell you how the changes have taken place in my life. She can verify that if I was to remain the way I was, I would either be dead, and I know I wouldn't be standing right here right now at all. So, but if we go, let's turn back to 1 Peter, go to chapter 2. We're going to see in 1 Peter 2:1, we see a change. And I used to be, was taught by a Sunday school teacher, that when you see things like what we're about to read, it's time, he used to say, it's time for a checkup from the neck up. Because there's where our problem is, right here. It's right up in this area right here is where our problems lie. So we read this in 1 Peter 2. He says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. He says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Okay, so what he's telling us here is that these things, and our pastor teaches us this often and often and often. I don't know how many times I've heard the word pride come out of his mouth, about get pride out of your life. These things that we're looking at right here are all the products of pride, every one of them. So we look at malice. Malice is intentionally unlawful, to bring harm to someone. That's what malice means. And that's done by the pride that we have that's in our lives. Deceit is lying, it's dishonest, it's fraud, it's a deceiver. Okay? Hypocrisy. It's acting a part, pretending to be better than. It's a pretension. Envy. A feeling of discontent, desiring for someone else's things, fame or position. Slander. Something said to damage someone in the presence of another. So these things are being booted out of our lives by our Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because every time, and the reason I say this, because every time one of these pops up in my life, the Holy Spirit is there going, Gary, don't do that. It's unbecoming. It's not you. So he's there, and he's got his finger in my chest, saying these things are not part of your life anymore. So I have to keep them in check. Like my teacher used to say, this flesh is like a hemorrhoid. It'll flare up every once in a while. But the way to overcome these is found in verse 2. He says, look what Peter writes here. It says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. Now, when we're children and we're growing up, we cry and we want that milk. Now, the milk of the word has everything that we need for our lives. It has every nutrition that we have, every vitamin. It's what the Word of God has, and it's for each and every one of us. Okay, I can't read this on behalf of my pastor. Okay, I can't say, well, Pastor Juno needs some more milk in his life. I can't read it that way. I read it for me. For me, I need it. I need milk because that's where the nutrition's at. Okay, and that's where the growth is. That's where it's at. Now we know that the word also is meat. And the meat is when we are actually practicing what we read. We actually put it in our lives and practice it, and it becomes part of our life. And that will also destroy these things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. It will destroy those things in our life as long as we stay in the Word and do the things that the Word says. So this is a way to overcome these things. So this regeneration will take place by whose power? Yeah, by God's power, through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this will take place. Look at 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Some more on this regenerating, what it causes. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Okay? So this is what's taking place. This is the regeneration process that's taking place in our lives. Okay? It's by God's power. And it's done for a reason. And the reason is what we just read here, so we can be partakers of the divine nature. And that's the purpose of it. That's the purpose behind our growth, our spiritual growth. So we can participate in this, which is the love that has been so graciously shown to us. Now in verses 5 through 11, we see something that we're supposed to be doing. Okay? This is the things that we are supposed to be doing to maintain our spiritual life. So let's go ahead and read those right now. He says, this is verses 5 through 11. He says, now for this very reason also, what's he saying? Applying all what? Diligence in your what? In your faith. Okay? And then he says, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Never stumble. So what we want to do, these things that we read in 1 Peter 2, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, we don't want those in our lives. Not even one little tiny bit of it. If they still come up in your life, you know how to squash them. And it's by the Word of God. When they pop up, just cry out to Jesus. Lord, help me. Jesus, help me with this. That's all you have to do. And before long, these things will be, you won't have even a memory of them. Your pride will be, you'll be even killed. You'll be ready for when Jesus comes back. So these things are very precious to each and every one of us. Hold them dearly in your heart. Keep these words near to you. Increase yourself in knowledge. Don't forget to read the Word every day. And not just read it, but to put it into practice. Read it as if God were speaking to you. Don't read it for another person. I went through that in my life. I can remember reading the Word of God and saying, well, that applies to so-and-so, not me. You know, but no, it was the Lord speaking to me. It was there. Some things are hidden. We may not know that we have, we know that we're prideful, but we may not know that pride causes this malice in our lives. But it does. So be aware. Be aware of your flesh. Okay, just like David said when he wrote, my sins are always before me. And when he said that, he was speaking of his flesh. He could see it. It was right in front of him. So just be aware that, hey, self-control is a control of our words, our mouth. That's it that I have for you tonight. Encouragement for practice is found in Ephesians 4:20. So let's go read that. Encouragement for practice. Ephesians 4:20 through 25. It wasn't too long ago Jim taught us this. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So when I sin, what he's telling me, when I sin, it affects each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. So this is encouragement for practice. So how do you put on the new self? How do you do that? It's like putting on clothes. It's one leg at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. So that's encouragement for practice. So put on the new self, the new person that's being renewed.